right. Welcome, everyone. This is The Buzz, Studio W, The Buzz, circling the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest in broadcasting aired anywhere around the world. And now you know what time it is. It's time for Groove Swing Speaks right here on The Buzz. All right. Let's stop this. I don't know how that slipped in there. But anyway, let's get this show on the road. Hey, I want to welcome to the panel here my brother Clayton.
Hello, hey. Hello.
Hello. Hey, bring that mic a little bit closer to you. And Craig, bring yours a little bit closer to you. Craig Hunter. Hey, brother.
The game changer's in the house tonight.
Turn his mic down. That's number two. Yeah, no, is that two or four? No, two. Bring two down a little bit more. All right. What were you saying, Craig?
I said the game changer's
that's
in
much
the
better.
House tonight.
Okay. We'll be back. And brother Robert Hicks. Hey, brother. Your mic is muted. I'll meet your mic, brother. Robert, okay. Unmute your mic.
There you go.
There you are.
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Wake up, damn it.
Yes. What's going on, brother?
What's up, Robert?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing well, brother.
And we have a very special guest on with us tonight. That is Sister Rose Ann Matthew. Hola, hello. Sister.
Hola, my sister. Good evening, brothers. How are you doing?
We're doing well.
Hey, thank you so much for joining the panel. And let's give a little background on why we do and what we do on this program. Groove Swing Speak is a spinoff of Groove Talk Radio, which we started about 7 years ago back in Southern California. And basically then, we had mostly grooves on and had some very interesting conversations, but it was limited to an area. And it wasn't as global as it is now. It wasn't global, even though the station would air globally. Yes. Okay, let me do that. Okay, fine. Globally, it wasn't aired or showcased as much as we showcase it now. And so I got together with Sister Rock. You guys know Sister Rock from the Raleigh Grad Chapter.
Yes.
And we were talking about 2 months ago, a little over 2 months ago. And I told her I wanted to bring back a version of Groove Talk Radio. But this time, I wanted to include our sisters. Okay, bring both organizations together and promote this globally. Around the world. And there is Sister Tiffany there. Hey, Sister Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hello.
Yes, hello. And so that's the whole premise of this. And I was speaking to Sister Rose earlier, and I said, when we started this, we wanted to educate, we wanted to uplift, we wanted to provide some valuable information to the world, and especially to our Groove Brothers, Swing Sisters, and anyone that's listening to this program. We want to provide some valuable information that you can use. Perhaps you're in a dead-end job, or you may be looking for some ideas, or you want to have, how can I go about doing a certain thing? So we try to cover all areas, as many areas as we can that affect us. We go in, talk about anything from mental health to voting, voting rights, human rights. It's just about anything that affects our community. Without further ado, I'm going to bring on our Sister Rose and Matthew. And I want her to tell us a little bit about herself as far as her educational background is concerned and also her professional background. So, Sister Rose, who is Sister Rose and Matthew and what do you do?
Now I feel like I'm in an interview, but it's okay. It's okay. But first I would like to say thank you for this opportunity to speak to you as well as your audience and panelists. I hope that we do have a good time this evening during this show and that we all have a healthy dialogue here and learn something from it. But with that being said, my name is Roseanne Matthew. I'm from Philadelphia with a strong heritage of West Indian culture embedded in me. My family's from Antigua. My journey in education, well, one thing, I don't know if everybody knows, but one thing for sure within the West Indian culture, education is primary. So there is no ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to school.
That's right.
That was always something that was permanent when I was growing up. So you had to definitely have an education. So with that being said, I obtained my bachelor's degree in general science with a concentration in biology from Lincoln University, the first HBCU. I know some people probably hate it right now, but we are the first. And then I received my master's degree in higher education administration from Morgan State University. And with that, obviously you can see there is a difference in there. It's not medicine or anything related to the first degree. So therefore there was a journey that needed to take place. So with that being said, I started off in undergrad with aspirations to become a pediatrician. And as I got to, I guess, my senior year, I said, oh yeah, this is not for me. This is a lot of sacrifice that's occurring, and I want to venture into something else, but use my degree as a stepping stone to what I really wanted to become. So I thought about going into the public health field. Eventually, I started working at Morgan State University with hopes of obtaining my master's degree in public health. But the job that I had at Morgan State University said that we will pay for your master's degree if you major in higher education administration. So therefore, my mind changed, and I quickly gravitated to higher ed. Even though all of my positions previous to that were in the education field as well as higher ed, it was a perfect fit anyway. And I always wanted to be a catalyst for young people to be successful citizens of this world. So what more of an impact besides medicine to venture into education? So with that being said, I ventured into higher ed and held various positions in higher ed, and then ventured into where I am now, still working in education, but as a HR professional.
Outstanding. You know, you said a lot, because
I did.
and that's quite all right, because we want to know more about you in that way, the panel. No, it's not an interview. It's a conversation. We want to have a conversation, but we want to know more about you so we can have a healthy, fruitful conversation. And you said a lot, and I was so intrigued by not only your credentials, but the journey that you've taken. And you mentioned you wanted to go into, you wanted to be a pediatrician. And and you said your path changed, and it had a lot it had a lot to do with, you know, what you were doing, and also there was an incentive for you to change, and I don't blame you for that. So tell us, what were some of your biggest challenges going through that transition?
Well, I was a first generation college student. So I was really navigating on my own with the help of my advisors at the time. And I also had a mentor who helped me a lot, still to this day, helped me a lot, who's actually married to a groove. And she, I'm not going to say her name because she didn't give me permission, but she helped me a lot through my journey in education, especially within Lincoln University, giving me that strong foundation I needed in order to propel to the next level. She also knew my background in education and also my background growing up in the Caribbean culture. You only have three choices. You become a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher. Those are the only three choices that you have in your career. So my sister was going to be the lawyer, and then I was going to be the doctor.
Okay.
So, and both of us, ironically, ended up in HR. But that's a whole nother conversation.
That is a whole different thing. This is really wild. Yeah. Because I'm going to tell you, many of us have, hey, Emma, my sister Emma, she's tuned in. Many people, we start off doing one thing and end up doing another. And where did your, I got this. Your family instilled the fact that, look, you are going to school. You're going to get an education. And it sounds like, to me, it sounds like there was a cultural thing as far as where you grew up. Then did you grow up in Antigua?
No, Antigua. No.
Antigua.
I actually grew up here, but my mom and all of my relatives, well, most of my relatives are from Antigua. So they came here to this country for a better opportunity or another opportunity, I would say. Mm-hmm. And also just to make sure that education wise, that we will have a great education, other opportunities that were available to us. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we were told always to perform your best and do your best in education, everything that you do. So just excelling in that field. I was very thankful. Well, not then, but looking back, just being thankful for that push to make sure that I succeed and be successful in anything that I do.
Who's your biggest inspiration?
I was very thankful for that.
Who is your biggest inspiration? Who is that?
Definitely my mom. She definitely has a lot of transferable skills. She's just a catch-all. She's a great cook, everything, great listener. Everything for me. She's a great support, giving advice to this day. And I'm very thankful to have her still alive and in my life.
All right. I'm going to toss it over to Tiffany. I have more questions for Sister Rose, but what do you have to say and what do you have to ask your sister?
Well, first, I would like to say hello to everyone and greetings, my brothers, and hola, my sisters. Well, it's been a while since I've seen you, but I'm glad to see you. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. Okay, so we was talking about education and how important education is, especially coming from your family and your background. I guess a follow-up question would be, had it not been for the push as far as going to school, like just say hypothetically, like, you know, it wasn't, you know, pushed upon you. What do you think that you would have still turned out this way? You know, like you would have taken the same route or would you have done something totally different?
I still think I would have turned out the same way. I probably would have just majored in education to begin with, since that's where I landed anyway, because I always set out to help people. I always had that I guess quest inside me just said, okay, I really want to just help people, hence being a pediatrician. You're still helping people. So throughout my journey in life, that's all I aspired to do, was to help others. That's what makes me happy. So that's my drive. So whether it's not I decided to be in education or if I was working in retail or anything, it was always I still wanted to help people because that's what makes me happy.
That's solid.
All right. Now, also, let's back up 1 second. Obviously, you're a member of Swing 5. Swing. Well, would you share with us what chapter you're with?
Currently, I'm with the Dada Rafiki Tri-County Graduate Chapter. It's in Pennsylvania. I'm actually a charter member of that chapter. We were founded in November of 2013. And ever since then, we have been on a roll. We have won Chapter of the Year before. We travel all the time, all over the place. and I just love my sisters. You know, every time we see them, it's a big old reunion. Whether I saw you yesterday, 2 years ago, or last week, I love this sisterhood.
Right. And also, you have a place or a seat on the national board, too, right? I'm sorry, say that again.
Okay, good, you can't hear me now. I'm actually the board chairwoman of the board of directors. The board of directors chairwoman. There, you have a executive level, and then you have the board of directors.
Right. Now, you talk about always being one that wanted to help people, which is admirable to me because, you know, you have your own life. You could be selfish and says, hey, look, I have a fine position. You know, I'm making what I want to make or doing whatever I want to do. But you reach back and you want to. Did that also have to do with some of your some things that your mother instilled in you?
Oh, absolutely. Just always being helpful to others because you don't ever know when you will need something from others, you know, in return.
Right.
And that's not doing something with the promise of having something in return, but just doing out the kindness of the heart. That's what's most important. Mm-hmm. Within Swing, I'm not about a titles person. I just want to get the job done.
Right.
I've held various positions, so many, at the local level, at the regional level, national level, and also on the board of directors. So every gamut of positions I've held, I did cross in spring of 2000 at Lincoln University. I was a number 7. I don't know if anybody's a number 7 on here. So I've been a part of the sisterhood for 24 years and counting. So I have a lot of experience, a lot to offer this organization. And I've been working diligently since I crossed March 19th, 2000 at 1:20 in the morning.
Wow. 1:20
in the morning.
So if you were number 7, morning, how many were on your line?
10.
10, wow.
Yeah.
That was a nice line. That was a very nice line.
Yes, it was.
Nice.
We were called the United Nations. We could speak different languages.
Oh, really? I like that.
Yeah.
How many languages total did the line could
it was, okay, now you're taking me back 24 years. Wait a minute. We had Russian.
Voila. Okay.
Russian, Chinese, Spanish, French, Patois. And this English. I feel like I'm missing one more.
What was this last one you just said? The last one you
Patois.
That is the Caribbean accent.
Oh.
I've heard of that.
I have not. This is what I love about this program, because we get exposed. I get exposed and learn something each and every week. I'm going to go to Brother Robert. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, panel, I think we talked about DEI. And let's talk about how Sister Rose is involved with that. Sister Rose, we talked earlier, and your story is amazing, and it's ongoing. Okay, you went from being wanting to be a pediatrician. You went into public health. You got into higher education, and now you have what you're doing now. You're involved with human resources. Robert had the topic of DEI, and I asked you earlier today, how does DEI play a role into what you do as a professional? You told me some fascinating things about that with yours, because you work with a lot of people. You work with a lot of people. I'm going to leave it just like that. and they're diverse. And you mentioned something earlier also. I'm going to get into it right now. During COVID and after the George Floyd tragedy, okay, that had an effect on your employees. And so I'm I want to know how, and then I want to toss it over to Robin, and let's go around the board, next with Tiffany, Craig, and then Clayton. But Robert, brother, okay, what questions do you have? And I am still interested in how DEI plays a role in her profession today. I thought it was fascinating. It was a fascinating story. Robert?
Yes, thank you. My question is basically, because one of the questions, Sister Rose, is you have to deal with human resources. How is diversity, equity, and inclusion, I'm probably going to say more of a sense of diversity, how important is that when it comes down to HR?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion, as we call it, DEI, is very important to cover the demographics that you serve. So whether it's students, and they are a majority of them are minorities, you want to look for candidates that have some type of can you see me? Okay, it moved. Sorry. Have some relation to the population it's going to serve. So, for example, if your population majority are African Americans, you don't want to have a Caucasian person come in and teach the students. They need to have a sense of belonging, so, or what it means to be successful. So you have to monitor that you're not just hiring just one type of person. You need to be diverse in your selection and not exclude anyone from the opportunities that's available, and making sure that you're meeting the needs of the population that you're serving. So that's one aspect. Also, not having preconceived notions of people based on their name. So I've had people say, oh, I didn't know you were Black because of my name. And then when they meet me, they're like, oh, you know, a double surprise. So that's a preconceived notion, again, going by someone's name and judging them. I think as a society, we've evolved a little bit when it comes to our culture being a little creative. When it comes to the spelling of the name, we have evolved a little bit. But there are some things that still needs to be ironed out, that needs to be addressed. Just as William noted, when George Floyd incident occurred, it kind of put everyone on eggshells on approaching Black people in general. They didn't want to offend anyone. They felt sorry. They didn't know really where to direct their feelings or how to approach a situation. So at my place of work, there was a talent equity partners that was developed to address those issues. And at first we started off with just a place for people to vent and talk. So of course it was at the height of COVID. So we had brown bag lunch forums and people would just come and eat their lunch and just vent and talk about how devastated they were about the event that occurred. How was it affecting you? Are you talking to other people? How was COVID affecting you? Because we were all in isolation and separated and everything. And those are all major factors that can affect your work. I don't know if you guys ever heard something about emotional intelligence. Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't heard about
that. Okay. Okay. So basically, emotional. Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to explain?
Basically, the idea of understanding is kind of like emotional, understanding the individual and what they are going through. When it comes down to the situation that they are in, it's basically just appealing more to their feelings rather than an essence of what their mental intellect is. Because once you are basically dealing with a person's feelings, you have a little bit more empathy for the individual, understanding what it is that they are facing or going through. And you can also gauge that individual from a more of a spiritual standpoint, if I could probably put it that way, or more a sense of an emotional standpoint. That's my understanding of it.
Yes, you're right on target. And basically, with emotional intelligence, we can't be naive to say that the experiences that people are going through at the time does not affect their work. Someone may have been a stellar performer in whatever task they were completing, and then after that incident kind of just distanced themselves. It's because they're processing what's going on. How can I get over this? This is, and it was playing, you know, religiously on TV at the time. There was, what else is there going to watch during the height of COVID? You're inside, away from everyone, not really much opportunity to socialize, and then you are faced with this George Floyd situation. So we provided the opportunity for employees to vent and just talk through the process. And then it evolved into identity work, meaning where are people from? What are they composed of? What is your culture? So just was I was sharing with Michael William earlier about your name story. Tiffany, do you know where your name came from? Where was derived from? Who named you?
Well, I know my mother named me. I want to say she got it from the baby book, but I did look my name up, and I'm not mistaken, it is Greek related, and is also Tiffany is also a representation of God. Okay. So, yes, I did look it up, and when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, that makes me so awesome. Yeah, that is true, you know, but yeah, I didn't look my name up.
Okay. Well, everybody has a story associated with their name. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some of you, so Craig, you could tell me where did your name come from?
My name came from my aunt. She dated a guy named Craig, and mm-hmm. she really liked the name because most Black kids in during my time of birth were named Greg or Gregory. So Craig mm-hmm. was the offset of that, but it was still sounds the same. But she dated a guy named Craig, and convinced, obviously, my mom that that was the name.
So okay.
That's how I got it. But my middle name is Alvin, and I hate that. Because the kids.
Well, where did Alvin come from?
No, Alvin, like the chipmunks.
Oh, Alvin. Okay.
Yes, and
well,
I
where did
that
come from?
About that all the time. I don't know and don't care. Never asked
well, you
about
should
that.
Find you should find out because everybody's name has a story. Like I'll tell you my story. So obviously I told you my family is from the Caribbean, and my name is derived from my great grandmother and my grandmother.
Okay.
And they combine the two. So my grandmother is Rosina, and my great grandmother is Anna. So they just combine the two names. So I have a piece of my great-grandmother and my grandmother, and that's where my name came from. My middle name is a different story, but of course, you know, you have your last name. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a different last name. Their last name has a story to tell, too. Where did all of the hunters come from? Where are they from?
German.
Ah, see? Okay. Mm. There you go. So it's just, with that exercise and just having that conversation with everyone, it kind of helps you open up and see the perspective of everyone from a different light. Got you kind of understand where people are coming from or why they think the way they think or why how they process information or just anything, how their experiences shape the person who they are today. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the other major factors with DEI. Also, just making sure in the workplace we're not overlooking people for promotion opportunities and not just offering it only to Caucasians or younger people. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't exclude people just because of their age and their race or their gender. So that is another thing. Just a few things that we covered being talent equity partner.
Yes. It's one of the things I've always wondered in the workplace. You know, I'm in engineering, so a lot of times we get interns and we get new hires, and they speak very little English. So my thing is, how do they get through the interview process? And sometimes, you know, we take them out on training exercises in the field. When I say in the field, maybe on projects, and just to see. So they can get an idea. We get them all the PPE, which is your hard hats, your safety vest, your eyeglass wear, anything they may need, and to include steel-toed shoes. And sometimes we take them on construction sites and see how things are built. But some of them don't understand very little English. So how do they get through that process or that interview? Does HR have to not sort of, I guess, pick individuals based on their lack of English language? Would that be
no,
somewhat?
They don't, but I think that they also need to, it sounds like that HR needs to create a pipeline of a pool of candidates that are more diverse, because those are the only people that are getting the experience. You said, you just said a lot right there. You said they're going on the construction sites, they're sitting with the uniform. That's a lot of experience. I'm sure other people would grab onto that opportunity if it was presented to them. So that HR needs to diversify their pool of candidates and not only present you with candidates whose language is not English.
Right. Now, Rose,
the first language.
In my field, now we do mostly white institutions during the spring season, within their spring semester. But in the summertime, we do a lot of HBCUs. You don't have that problem when we're doing HBCUs, but when we get interns in the spring semester, because you know they get credits at school for just being doing that, where your HBCUs don't have that curriculum and doesn't have the resources and the money to set up a program like that. So they're more like in the summertime. But when we get these students from some of these major white institutions in the engineering and mathematics field or curriculum, most of them are not African Americans in predominantly white schools. You may get maybe your 5% and that's it.
Okay. Well, there, I mean, I'm sure at those PWIs, they are some African Americans that attend, and maybe just having a conversation with the HR department, saying, hey, have you ever considered diversifying your pool of candidates and making sure that everyone is being presented with this opportunity? Where are these candidates being sourced from that keeps attending these schools? Because, I mean, this opportunity, because, you know, English is not their first language, but it seems like only those candidates are being selected. Why is that? If you feel comfortable asking that question.
Mm-hmm. Mm, interesting. You know, I want to get back to something you said earlier, and you were talking about where did your name come from. You asked me that question earlier, and I said, you know, I read something about it was a protector or conqueror or something like that, but I didn't have a lot to say. But since then, I looked it up.
Okay.
And it says the name William, a name of kings and conquerors. You got that, Craig? All right. William is a powerful and popular boy's name, first introduced to England by William the Conqueror in 1066. The name has stood the test of time and remains fashionable throughout the English-speaking world. Despite this, William is actually a German origin, derives from Germanic Wilhelm, W-I-L-H-E-L-E-L-M, all right, whose roots are in parentheses, desire, on helm, helmet, protection, combined to mean a resolute protector, a bold meaning that will mark a baby as a defender of the vulnerable. My mom was pretty smart, huh, Kate?
I guess, yes, she was.
All right.
I can't say the same for the recipients, but
Lord help us.
You said your mom.
Our mom. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes.
He is also my blood brother as well as group.
Yeah.
Yes.
So was she by herself in naming you, or did your grandmother?
Well, actually, my dad's name was William. Also.
Okay.
Okay.
But you're not a junior.
No.
Okay.
I'm glad. You know, as a matter of fact, I never wanted that. I'm so glad because my dad's middle name and my middle name are different, right? And I'm so glad that he shouldn't name me Junior, because to me, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, but the word Junior has a certain connotation to it as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
really?
Mentally, it does. Junior? No. That, because to me, junior means that you don't ever grow up. I know I've offended some people out there. I mean, but it just, certain words have certain meanings. And the word junior to me, really has that connotation, like, you know, you never really grow up, and I know that's not
that's
true.
That's the name story. You know, that's the name story. That's who you are, who you identify as. It could be a further explanation about that. This is a tradition within our family that we're named after each other to carry on the legacy of this name. That could be another, you know, definition for that as well. But, you know, everyone has their own perspective on how a name should be. But,
you know, and I tell you, based on your educational background, I'm sure that mental health is something that you deal with? I'm sure you deal with it on an everyday basis, but professionally, is that something that you really looked into, or something you study, or something you counsel on, or things like that? Because, like I said, certain names, you know, will affect people, or certain words will affect people differently, and sometimes not so positive. I mean, you know, for instance, let's talk about hiring, for instance. There are a lot of jobs that if someone has an African name, you may not get the application. I mean, you may not get the position, depending on what company that you've applied to. There was a study that I read about that there were candidates that they applied, or someone told us about this. They applied using American names, and they applied using African names. They got the calls back when they used the American name. Is that something?
Right, and that's what I was mentioning earlier. I said, even for me, with my name, you know, I would interview for a position, and then when I came for the in-person interview, they realized, it was like, wait a minute, you're Black? You know, I could tell by their gesture, their posture in meeting me, I was not the person that they expected based on my name. But yes, unfortunately, in some cases, society does do that and discriminate against people due to their name. But I think that as a society, we have evolved somewhat with adjusting, you know, to our culture, Black people's culture, in our creative way of how we name our children.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, and I think that and this is that's the problem there, I think, because a mom or a mother or father should be able to name the children whatever they want to name, if it is of an African origin or Hispanic origin or whatever it is. You know, it seems like to me that everyone should be treated based on their merits, on their education, on their experience versus their names. Someone else jump in. Robert, do you have to say anything about that, or Tiffany or Craig or Clayton? Because I'm sure all of us have witnessed that. We even maybe have experienced that. We know someone who's gone through that. And I think that's not right.
Yeah, I think.
Excuse me. I was going to say, go ahead. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say real quick, another reason why I feel like society kind of is evolving is, you know, we just had a president named Barack Obama.
Yes.
So that was a significant change in society that we all had to adjust, and it allowed people to kind of give that candidate a second look that has an interesting name.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to throw that in.
Right, right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Clayton.
No, go ahead.
That's fine. Thank you, sister. Speaking of names, I was one when I was growing up, I did not like my name and did not know the origin of my name. And I just recently looked it up as well. It's a British name. It comes from the old English names of that lineage. And it means clay soil. And it's a grounded type of, it's supposed to be a strong name.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things when I was growing up, I wanted a common name just like everybody else, just wanted to fit in, because I was more of an introvert anyway. So a lot of people had those names like William, and the strong names like Robert. I wanted to have those type of names, but I found to love my name as I grew older, because that's what I was given. I had to get over it, get used to it. But on another note, some of the names that are given out to some of the young people nowadays, I don't know how they hold their heads up out in public. You know? Their parents gave them something that they, why do they go about making up these names and sticking these names on their children and having them to deal with this for the rest of their lives?
Right.
It can make them shy away from things. They don't have the confidence as some of the other people. So I can see how mentally and spiritually that could weigh on those children or even adults.
Mm-hmm.
And it could make them feel a certain kind of way as they grow older.
Right. Okay, before you answer that, sister, now would you like to tell the panel who gave you that name? We're waiting.
Who, me?
No, I'm talking about Clayton.
Well, yes. He wants credit for everything.
Credit? Oh, my God.
It just so happened to be my brother. He is my oldest brother.
And
William A. Brown.
That's it.
I'm going to give you your flowers, brother. So hold on for a minute.
I'm waiting.
Because everything about me, I owe it to him.
Are you being sarcastic, man?
Yes,
now?
I am.
You need to send all your bills by here too, for he can
pay. That's the next thing. I'm gonna send him my bills and my car note, my mortgage. But anyway, he is my oldest brother. I love him dearly. I followed in his footsteps for a long time, and when I had a chance to break free, I ran. So But I happen to play as Groom because the fact is I saw what he was doing with Groom, and that was the catalyst for me to become a Groom.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 24 years in the United States Air Force, and I retired. I'm a graphic artist. I have 2 master degrees as well. But I said that to say this. Nothing would take the place of the love that I have for my siblings, including my sister who is online, Emma, my brothers, all the way down from William to Emil to Barrett to Roderick to Daniel to Myron. I learned a lot from each and every one of them. So the names that were given to them, I wanted to be, take a little bit from each one of them because I'm trying to find my way. And my name kind of took me through a certain path. Some people was giving me a pass because of my name. Some people was looking at me like, who is he? But I'm trying to tie this into what you were saying, the diversity and equity and inclusion. When they say that name Clayton now, I want it to be something that would carry respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to get to.